And she had a hard enough problem getting into the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
She said she was getting.
All right. Well, good evening. Glad that the wind blew you in tonight. Let's see.
Well, it seems dark in here. Thought we were supposed to get lighter. Maybe that's when the clouds are coming in, huh?
All right, well, we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Talking about anticipating the rapture. Okay, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for time to study your word. Help us as we look at part of the rapture here tonight. We pray that you give us understanding as to what that means and what impact it have on our own hearts and lives. And we do pray for those that are not feeling so well tonight, not able to be here. Pray you'll continue to strengthen them and may be able to be with us here on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that little sheet that I handed out, it was out of a commentary, but it's one that's easily understood. It's pretty much what we're going to be talking about tonight, but if you got some questions, it really deals with the whole chapter 4. What we're going to cover is actually kind of on the backside of that, so. And I haven't had a chance to look at what Chris handed out. Would you say it was something about the vaccine? More good news?
They said that there's 77 more vaccines for this type of thing, and in a triple digit. And the last thing that was said, Brandon Hall said that they should be holding Nuremberg-style trials for the people that... originally it was a Fauci's. It was developed in his lab. He shipped it over to China, and from there it sort of shipped itself. So we'll see.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we're looking here at lesson number 9, anticipating the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. We'll look at a part of that here tonight. Okay, so what are people anticipating now? What are we here? People are looking forward to, anxious. Oh boy, it's going to be one of those nights. Anxiously awaiting. Yes, Chris?
Well, it depends upon what side of the Bible you're on. For those that are born again, the last thing I see written in the last part of the Revelation is, even so, Lord Jesus, come. And right before that, it says, and Lord, I shall come quickly. So I pray every night before I finally pillow my head, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And on the other side, I think they're waiting for a cure for COVID-19.
A cure. How many, wouldn't that be, well, I'm sure if somebody's got it written down, but how many diseases or whatever have we had in the last X number of thousand years, and we find a solution for it, you know, and what comes next? A new one. There's going to be another new one after this one. So, anyway, okay. Well, anything else people are anticipating? Does anybody remember what normal was? You know, can't wait till we get back to normal. And it's like, what was normal? And then they can't even leave that alone. It's, we're going to have the new normal. And that's usually not something good. Okay, well... all right, let me ask you another question here. This relates actually to the lesson. These Thessalonica believers, they didn't have the teaching that we have, okay? I mean, we have the advantage of having First Thessalonians. They didn't have that back then. So what comfort do we have when a believer dies, okay? What, is there comfort there at all? And if so, what? Chris?
Well, but it's very difficult at times because we love the brethren or our own family members who are saved. But the Bible says we sorrow not as others sorrow who have no hope.
Okay. We have hope. Okay, let's expand on that a little bit for those maybe listening. What kind of hope do we have as believers? Would you say resurrection? Okay, so there's going to be a resurrection. We'll talk about that here later on in our studies. We have that to look forward to. What else? Okay, we got the three things. the return, the resurrection, and the rapture. Okay, yeah, we've got these. Okay, for the unbeliever, and some, okay, either the unbeliever dies or unbelievers go to a funeral, don't know anything about salvation or anything else. They just know somebody died. Is there any comfort or hope there? No. I mean, usually it's somebody get, well, maybe it's a number of people anymore, telling what a great guy they were, you know, and what all good things that they did. And, you know, we remember the good stuff. But not a lot of comfort knowing, okay, what's on the other side of this thing? Mark?
There's also a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of people go to the funeral, oh, they're in heaven now. I think it's automatic, and it's not.
Yeah. Do you ever go to a funeral where they don't acknowledge the fact that the whoever it is went to heaven? It's you know, it's kind of like an, like you say, an automatic. Oh, not just in heaven, but they're, what did they turn into? They're an angel up there somewhere, and they're looking down on us, and they're happy that we're all here today. And yeah, we could go off on that one for a little bit, but there, some of it, it might be like self-preservation, kind of make yourself feel better. Again, they don't have that hope. Well, that's kind of where these guys were at. They didn't have the, I mean, Paul must have taught some of this for them, because they knew that there was going to be a rapture, there was going to be a resurrection, but there was confusion on their part. They thought, okay, the people that died, when Jesus comes back, they're going to miss out, you know? And you know, it's like, well, I'm trying to compare it to something else today here. But so Paul, he's trying to straighten out the record, okay? We don't want you sorrowing. You know, these folks aren't going to miss anything, okay? It's like somebody says, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Oh, we miss Wednesday night. Well, that's okay. You can watch it on a stream, you know. You can watch it later. Well, If you miss the rapture, is there another bus coming by? No. It's like that series, Left Behind. And take my word for it, you don't want to be left behind on this one, okay? Well, he says there's three parts to this, and we'll look at one of them here tonight, save the other two for next week. But events to look forward to. Okay, so, you know, we were coming up to the end of 20. We're kind of thinking, oh boy, here comes 21. We want to forget 20. 21's going to be really good. Well, I don't know if it's all that much different than 20 was. Oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't say that. I think last I heard, we're going to have a state fair this year. We'll probably all be walking around with a 6-foot pole in front of us, and nobody gets close when I'm asking. whatever. But anyway, yeah, so maybe there is some hope there. Okay, so the return. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Okay, he's kind of, I don't want you to be ignorant on this one, okay? And there's nothing wrong, in a sense, being ignorant. We just don't know. Kind of like the vaccine. There's a lot of things we're kind of ignorant about. We really don't know about it. And so he says, "But here, we want you to have to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Okay, so Paul wanted to give them some understanding. They had just missed out on some of the information, you know. Have you ever maybe you're back when you're in college or something and you missed a class, you know, and you come in there and you don't quite know what's going on because you missed something? Or maybe you're watching a series in a film and you miss one of these and you're trying to catch up, figuring out what's going on. Well, they were missing out a little bit because, again, they thought they were going to miss out on Christ's return. They died. Jesus is going to come back and they're not going to get to go to heaven. And so he's saying, no, that's not the case. He says they're asleep. And he didn't say they're dead, okay? Now, their body is probably parallel in the ground, their room temperature and all the rest of that. But he said, sleeping, they're going to wake up. They're going to rise up again. And so the Bible talks about sleep for the believers. Doesn't use that term for the unbeliever. But for the believer, he says they're sleeping. They're going to awaken and they're going to rise up again. And he used this term when he was talking about Lazarus, saying Lazarus is dead. Now, and Jesus says, no, we got to go that I can awaken him out of his sleep. Now, Lazarus was dead, okay? He'd been in the grave. What did they say? You don't want to roll away the stone because what? He's been in there 3 days and he's going to stink, okay? Well, Jesus went there and raised up Lazarus. 3 days was not a problem for him. That ought to have told us something. Okay, if he can raise up Lazarus in 3 days, is that going to be a challenge for him to come popping out of the grave in 3 days himself? No. Is it going to be a problem to raise us up? No. Okay. He's proved he can do this. Okay, so it's not a politician kind of promise. You know, it's something that's really going to happen. And he says, I don't want you to sorrow as those who sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Okay, for the unbeliever who has no hope, death is some big question mark, you know, big black hole people fall into. My uncle used to, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that kind of believe that, Loay. He believed that you're just kind of like a dog. And for you dog lovers, you know, or wanting Fido to be with you, you know, I don't know. But anyway, he just thought, well, when you die, they dig a hole, put you in it. That's the end. That's the period. That's where it stops. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not much to look forward to. But he says, I don't want you sorrowing like those, the unbelievers who don't know me, that don't know Christ, that don't have assurance of their salvation. As he mentions here, death for the Christian is not a period. It's not the end. It's a comma or a pause or a speed bump, whatever you want to call it. There's a definite change between this life and eternity, but life's going to continue on. How does this work? I'm usually picking on somebody else, but I'll pick on me, okay? Hope this doesn't happen anytime soon, but okay, so I have a heart attack, die. There's a casket there instead of the communion table, and I'm in there, okay? I haven't decided if I'm going to go with blue jeans or a tie. I don't know. Well, I won't have any say in it. Maureen, it's like when Richard died, she had this red shirt. Said he never wanted to wear this red shirt, but he wore it that day. Mary said so. Well, the thing is, okay, so the body is here. What does the Bible say, though? Is that all of us? Or is it just this old body? What do you think, Gail?
I was thinking the scripture, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Okay, right. There's a departure. At the I take it, okay, the verse doesn't say that. That's my kind of interpretation or take on it. Last breath on earth, next breath in heaven, okay? The body's here, the body's out in the cemetery or whatever, wherever it ends up, okay? But the soul, spirit, returns to be with the Lord, and he goes to be with the Lord. And so in that sense, we're alive in heaven once we die. And at the rapture, we're going to see that the body is raised up and it's rejoined with a soul and spirit, okay? And we're with the Lord forever. Maureen and I talk about her mom and dad both passed away. My mom and dad have. And, you know, sometimes I wonder what they're doing, you know? Maureen's mom was an awesome cook. And they said, they probably got her in the kitchen, you know? And we joke about Maureen's dad. I mean, I don't want to get too far off into this, but, you know, he would say, you'll never believe this. You know, come with me. You got to see this. And we're saying, okay, he's been there for a few years. He's explored. He knows where all the neat places are at. You know, we get there and he's going to be, come on with me. You're not going to believe this. You know, and, you know, we got the royal tour waiting for us, you know, but I mean, it's more than just something to make you feel good. It's reality. Now, we don't know exactly what's going on there, but we saw here on Sunday, you know, in Revelation there, there's no more death, no more dying, no more weeping, no more aches and pains. All the stuff that we tend to have to deal with here and now is not gonna be there. Not something we have to deal with. Okay, so Christians, we sorrow too. What do we sorrow? What are we sad about?
When our loved ones pass away, we're sorry because they're not here.
Right, yeah, we're sad that they're not here with us. And I jokingly said, you know, somebody said they're going to be going, no, you got to stick around and suffer with the rest of us. You know. Right, we miss them. There's nothing wrong with that. There's an emotional tie, you know. You've been friends for X number of years. You've been husband and wife for X number of years. I mean, I notice it's, Maureen and I notice, okay, when the kids aren't, when the house sure is quiet. Is your house ever quiet? Grandma and Grandpa got the kids? Or, you know, or the summer, you know, when she used to run down to see her mom and it's just me rattling around the house, you know, I'm turning on the radio and everything else, you know, but it's not, we don't sorrow because we think our loved ones are in the pits of hell. It's just that we miss them and there's nothing wrong with that. What was Jesus' response when he found out Lazarus died? That little short verse, Jesus wept, okay? So don't tell me you can't memorize scripture. Jesus wept. You just memorized one. Now you just have to find out where it's at. Okay, so grief is not bad. It's just something kind of God's designed us to go through. But we don't grieve in the sense that the unbeliever who has no hope, doesn't know what happened to him, never going to see him again, you know, that sort of thing. The Bible talks about a blessed hope. What's that blessed hope? Gail, you're going to get all the stars tonight here. No, that's fine. I'm just seeing your hand first.
Well, isn't the blessed hope when Jesus comes for us in the
Right. Okay. When Jesus comes back. I mean, we got some people that believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. Is that the blessed hope? Don't think so. It's not only that he's coming to take us home, but he's coming to take us out of here before the tribulation comes, okay? And again, that's not just wishful thinking. It's based on Scripture. And it says there, the blessed hope is found in Titus 2:13, glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he's coming back for us. Now, if you try to talk to this about to an unsaved person, you know, doesn't go to church or anything else, I'm guessing he's going to look at you like, remember the Hale-Bopp Comet bunch? Well, what was it? Wasn't it the California people, and they drank something and killed them all, and they were going to meet up with some comet or out? You know, it sounds like some science fiction thing. Thing is, though, everything else that Jesus said, is that me or? Oh, maybe it's flagging me for something here. That, you know, okay, where was I? Sudden alert here. Okay. You know, Jesus is coming back, and he's come back to take us home to be with him. And so we have a great amount to be thankful for, blessed for. Everything else that he said has happened, and there's no reason to believe that this one isn't going to happen just like he said it would. This isn't going to be the first, oops, oh, I guess maybe I shouldn't have promised that one. No, it's going to happen. And there's another passage. This one deals with this, but is there another passage that talks about the rapture?
Church, not this building.
Right. So, yeah, we're out of here. Right. And but 1 Corinthians, yeah. Well, okay. And I was trying to read my own chicken scratch here, but in 1 Corinthians, I guess we got to go the other way. 1 Corinthians 15. This is another passage towards the end that talks about this. But somebody says, "Well, I don't believe that he resurrected." Well, okay, that's your choice. Doesn't change anything. He did. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, kind of the condensed version of the gospel, the good news. He says there in the first couple of verses, he says, 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which is also ye also received, and wherein ye stand, by the which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain." Here it goes. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you," okay, or "I shared this with you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and the third day he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Okay, so it tells us Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's kind of the gospel in a nutshell, okay? Now, you can expand beyond that, but people need to know that, all right? Well, then here comes the proof, okay? And in most cases, you only need one witness to give proof of something in a court of law. Sometimes two, if you really need more. But here, verse 5, "He was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto the present, but some are fallen asleep." So he's saying 500 people saw Jesus alive and well at the same time. Most of them are still alive. You can go and interview them if you want. There are some of them that have died or fallen asleep. Okay, and then he goes on to say that he was seen of James and of all the apostles, and last he was seen of me also, talking about Paul, as one born out of due time. And so there's an awful lot of proof, okay? And there's so much beyond that, not just the people themselves, but their lives were changed. With those 12 disciples, okay, we got a replacement for Judas, would they risk their lives, go around telling everybody this, if they were going to get beaten, abused, killed, slain, like Stephen, others that were stoned? Because, I mean, you aren't going to risk your life on a lie. They were convinced of it. They believed it. They saw it. I mean, they know what Jesus looked like before he was crucified. They knew what he looked like afterwards. They saw him be taken back up to heaven. I mean, they were thoroughly convinced. And this was some kind of brainwashing kind of thing. These guys really believed this. And he says, Jesus is coming back. And he's going to take us home to be with him. And he tells us, he says there in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep," or have died and are going to be awakened in Jesus, "will God bring with him." Okay, so he's coming back for them. And Jesus died, he rose again. That's our guarantee that we're going to be resurrected. It's going to happen, folks. Doesn't matter how big a tombstone they got sitting on top of you, you know, how tight the seal is not the casket, the other thing they put you in.
Grave.
Well, they put you inside of something else.
Well, a casket.
No.
Oh,
the vault. Yeah, be careful of that one, folks, because they're going to play on your sympathy. Oh, well, you know, here's this cement one, but then there's this one, and it's got a waterproof seal on it, you know, and it's only X number of $1,000 more. It won't make any difference, folks, you know. I'm sorry, but I've been on the other end of this thing, and I know how that works, and so... Yeah, we're dead, we're buried, but it doesn't matter how far down, and you know, it talks about this later, you know, people that in battle on ships buried or was killed or died over the side they go, you know, and that's not a problem for God putting that back together. Remember how he come up with Adam and Eve start with? Mud balls? No. Dust. He took dust and made living people. He can do that again. Okay. Now, I'm not a, and I this probably rubbed some of you wrong way. I'm sorry. And I won't take time on that much. But I'm off. I think the right way to go is to be buried. You know, I'm not really in favor. And that's, again, me. And I'll tell you more about it later sometime with cremation. But that's not going to be a problem for God, okay? He can put us all back together again, and we're going to be in just good shape. You know, he's not going to have missing pieces. You know, it's not going to be like your TV. Remember when it goes digital, and then some of it kind of disappears on you? We aren't going to be like that for eternity, okay? And he says, "You're going to be with me," just like he told the dying thief next to him, "Today, you're going to be in paradise." Okay? And we're not getting as far as I wanted to go, but let me just say this, because I've heard people say, talking about soul sleep. Have you heard something like that? Where it's, okay, out in the cemetery. Remember we said we're going to put me out in the cemetery somewhere? Okay? That's the only thing there is the body. The soul and the spirit, as a believer, goes to be with the Lord. Some people got some idea that I'm not sure where they're coming up with it, but it's the soul and spirit that are also out there in the cemetery sleeping until Jesus comes back and wakes them up. No, that doesn't match with scripture. The body is in the grave, soul and spirit go to be with the Lord, and when we come back with him, soul and spirit coming back with him, our bodies are raised up, joined together. We got the whole new us. What we wish that we were like now, okay? All right? And, but he says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Not some, you know, 100 years from now. Do you ever go through cemeteries, old ones? You know, and you're looking at the headstone. Oh, here's one, 1866. Wow, they've been, you know, buried for a long time. You know, they haven't been missing in action for the last, you know, 100 and some years. No. If they were a believer, soul and spirit's with the Lord, body's there. But, and Jesus, again, mentions this to the thief on the cross. He says he was referring to the spirit's, or the thief's spirit, not his body. And that reminds us of the fact that death is found in Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth, and as it was, the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, I don't know. There may be some change. When they dig up, what is it, King Tut and some of these guys, they're mummified. You know, they haven't all turned to dust. And hear about other ones that have been raised up out of the grave, and you know, they're still kind of, everything's put together with an added mushroom or something. No, really. But the thing is, the Lord's going to, he planned this all out from the beginning. He's not winging it. This isn't going to be an experiment that goes bad. I really thought they were going to be resurrected. No, it's going to happen, folks. And we're going to be a part of it. Now, I don't know about you, but, and I... maybe I put too much on the lighter side of things, but I'm looking forward to the upper taker, not the undertaker. Not that I'm going to know the difference, you know, or have any say in it, but I'd just soon go for the rapture and skip the funeral and all that stuff, you know. Say, if I go first, save Maureen some tears. Anyway, we don't, you know, God's got it all planned out. And the thing is, we just have to be ready. We don't know when it's going to happen. And we'll get into that here in a little bit, or in later in the lesson, but the rapture. Some guy comes on the radio on Sunday morning, says, better get your bags packed. Rapture's going to happen next Sunday. What are you going to do? Yeah. Turn it off, turn a channel. God says, nobody knows, okay? Nobody knows, and we're not to set the date and hour. Because, see, that's kind of what was happening here in Thessalonica. They thought the rapture was coming, quit their jobs, were just, you know, ran out of food and everything else. Now we're mooching off everybody else because we thought this was going to happen, and it didn't, and... can't you see people doing that today? Yeah, right. I'm not spending my last month working, you know. No. On the other hand, a little bit of motivation, the fact that we don't know if we're going to hear the alarm clock go off tomorrow morning. Could happen tonight. And so the idea of thinking, waiting for the perfect opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord, might not want to wait too long because they may not be here or you may not be here, okay? Doesn't mean God can't bring somebody else along to talk to them. But, you know, if we really love them, we care for them, we're going to want to talk to them and saying, hey, one of these days I'm going to be gone, you know, and I hope you're coming with me. you don't want to be left behind. And... again, it doesn't talk about that here, but there is going to be, you know, we think things are bad now. Man, this is going to be like paradise compared to what tribulation's going to be like. It's going to be horrible because the believers are all gone for the most part. They've been all, at least to start with, and some will be saved, but many of them are going to be martyred in the process because... they don't like Christians during the tribulation. So, Okay, well, maybe we better just kind of stop here since the clock's saying you're done. And we'll pick this up. So look through, you might take a few minutes some between now and then, and read through 1 Corinthians 15. And as Chris mentioned here, towards the end of that, it also talks about the coming of the Lord. How it's going to be, you know, I say this, but it's a whole lot faster than that. Blink of an eye. Whatever, and we're here 1 minute and gone the next, so we got to be ready. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you. The fact that we do have hope, death is not just some scary thing that we most likely have to deal with and be fearful as to what's on the other side. As we look at Scripture, the best is yet to come. Not that we have to hurry to get out of here, but we need to be ready. And one of these days, it's going to happen. And somebody said, well, it's been a long time now. Well, yeah, but we're 2,000 years closer to it than we were back in Paul's day. And so we best be ready. We pray that each one here might have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, to have that assurance that they're ready. And pray that you motivate us to tell other people too while we have that opportunity. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
So keep on anticipating the rapture. Okay?